Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Maseches Megillah Daf Chaf Beis. We are actually on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. So how many Aliyos LaTorah do we have on any given day? It depends on the Kedusha of that day. As the Meiri explains, the more Kedusha, the more Aliyos, the more Torah to derive, to extract the Kedusha embedded in that given day. Says the Gemara, Brosh HaChadashim B'Chol HaShalmoyed, we go up one notch, one more than your typical weekday Kriyas HaTorah, Kirin Abba, it gets us to 4. Ba'imine Ula Barav, he asked the Shaila Meirava, what do we do on Rosh Chodesh? Parashas Rosh Chodesh, Ketzat Kirin Oysa. How do we read the Parsha of Rosh Chodesh? We have a quandary. Tzavas Bnei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem, es korban lachmi li'ishai. That Parsha has how many psukim? The Havyon, t'manya psukim. It consists of 8 psukim, heichinavid. What do we do? How do we split it between the oilim? What's the issue? Nikri trei tlasa tlasa. Have the first two fellows read 3 psukim apiece. Tlasa tlasa psukin, which is the minimum for any given aliyah. You're left with 2. Poshu luhutrei. And that's an issue. That's a problem because you're not meant to. Stop. Less than 3 psukim to the end of a parsha. Poshu luhutrei, you have 2 left over. You started with 8. He took 3, left with 2. Ve'ed mesha'er ne parsha pochas m'shlesha psukin. You can't leave over less than 3 psukim in any given parsha. The Gemara soon will explain because of the Yotzim. We're concerned about people leaving the shul at that moment, not realizing that the next fellow will actually finish this parasha and go into the next parasha. They might think that the next oyla will only do 2 psukim, which is less than the minimum. We have to account for that scenario. So we never leave over less than 3 psukim at the end of a parasha. That option doesn't really work. Okay, Nikri Arba Arba. So the first 2 aliyahs will consist of 4 psukim each. And that covers the entire parsha of Tzav Bnei Yisrael. You have 8, you split it evenly. Well now, Poshulu Shiva. You're left with 7 psukim for the next 2 fellows. Why? The parsha of Ubiyam HaShabbos having 2 psukim there. The parsha of Uberashi Chatshechem having Chamisha gives you 5. How are we going to allocate those psukim? Hechen avid. What should we do? Nikri trei meha. Let the third oila do 2 psukim of Ubiyam HaShabbos. V'chad mahanach. And his third pasuk will spill over into the next parasha Ubrashi Chatshechem. That's also something you're not meant to do. Ein maschilin v'parasha pachas m'shlash psukim. When you initiate it, when you go into a new parasha, you have to go 3 psukim into that parasha. Why? The concern is very similar to before. Mishum hanichnosen, we're concerned about people arriving late, coming in at that moment. Suppose the oila did merely 2 psukim in this parsha, and the next aliyah will start at pasuk 3. This fellow arriving right now will say, well, the previous fellow evidently only did 2 psukim, won't realize that he started at the previous parsha. He'll walk away thinking that you can do less than 3 psukim per aliyah. So, Eid Maschil in the Parsha, Pachas Mishlash Psukim. When you enter a new Parsha, it's at least 3 Psukim. So, you can't just do 2. Okay, so, Likri Trei Miha. Let him do 2 Psukim from Ubiyam HaShabbos. With Lasa Mahachan, 3 Psukim to the next Parsha. And you're short. Pasha Hu Trei, you only have 2 Psukim left. Rosh HaChechem had 5. 3 was deducted, given to the previous Oyla, and only 2 left for the last and final Oyla, which is too little. For an aliyah. So what do you do on Rosh Chodesh? Amar Loi, Rabbi responds, you know what? Zulay Shemati. I tell you, I never heard the halacha regarding this specific case, but Kayetze Boshemati, I've heard a similar halacha regarding a similar quandary, which can be applied to our case as well. This is not. Bayim HaRishon, Bereshis VeHirokia. This was back in the Ma'amadis. We had this in Tanis. Kal Yisrael was split into 24 groups, Mishmaris. A Mishma consisted of Kehanim, Levim, who served in the Mikdash, Israelim, who were engaged, for the most part, in tefillah and fasting. Hashem protects Klal Yisrael. The Kabbalists are successful. So they would go to the shul, they would fast, they would daven and do a special Kriyas HaTorah. Reading the first portions of Bereishis, describing Briyas HaOlam to indicate that the world depends on successful karbanos, which bring about teshuva, and we earn our life in that manner. So they used to go through the days. On Sunday, they would read Bayom Rishon, it's a Sunday, they would read Bereishis, what Hashem created on the first day, Vayirukia, what happened on the second day, because it wasn't enough psukim in the first section, so you go into the second section. And on the second day, Monday, they would do what Hashem created on the second day, and the third, etc. It was a system, as we discussed back in Maseches Tanis, V'tani Allah, and the Brice explains. The Parsha Bereishis, which consists of five psukim, that was divided between two people, Mishnai. Yehirokiah, the next Parsha Be'echad, was covered by one oila, for a total of three aliyahs. V'avinu, we had a kash on that. Bishloim Yehirokiah Be'echad, I understand how Yehirokiah can be allocated to one person. Dutlasa psuku ha, psuki havu. Has three psukim, which is perfect for one person. Elaborations b'shnayim. How can you give Bereishis to two people? Chamisha psukim havi. It's merely five psukim. Too little to divide amongst two people who need three psukim each. Ella. Bereishis b'shnayim. Yeah, chamisha psukim havi. It's five psukim. It's not too much. It's not enough. V'tanya. We learned a halacha in a braisa. Hakoyer b'tarei lo yifches m'shlosha psukim. During any given aliyah. He needs to cover at least three psukim. It's Kenega Tanach, Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, as we learned yesterday. So what do you do now? How do you take five and divide it amongst two people? V'itmar Allah, we have an explanation on that halacha. Rav Amar Doileg. You repeat a pasuk. First Eila does pasuk 1, 2, and 3. The next fellow does 3, 4, and 5. So you repeat a pasuk. V'shmolam ha-pasuk. You don't repeat, you split pasuk 3 in half. He does 2.5, and he does 2.5. Rav Amar Doilek, Rav who maintains you, repeat my time. Loyam Ar Poisek, what's wrong with just splitting it into two? Kasavar, because he holds, it's inappropriate. Kol Psuka Dolei Paske Moshe, a Pasek which was not divided in that manner by Moshe Rabbeinu. Way back when, Anan Le Paskin Le, we don't just divide things artificially on our own. So we leave the Torah structurally intact. We just repeat to accommodate both. Shmuel Amar Paskin Le. He prefers splitting that pasuk into two. Really? Va'amar Chanina. Kara. Chanina was a Bal Koyer who teach Chumash to children. And he said as follows. Sar Godel Hoyli. I invested great effort, Eitzel Rabbi Chanina Gadol, in discussion with Rabbi Chanina Gadol to allow me to go ahead and teach the psukim piecemeal, to divide psukim, to accommodate the kids, to give it them in bite-sized piece, in bite-sized form. Tzar gadol ha'yali eitzel ha'rachanin ha'gadol, v'lo yhidali livsik, ela tenek l'shabar b'es raven. He only allowed it for kids. Ha'yali v'l'islamid asuri, they're just trying to learn. A proper kriyas ha'Torah should be done the way it's meant to be, but we're teaching kids. You have to give it to them on their level, a couple of words at a time. You can go ahead and divide the psukim. Apparently, it's not proper procedure. Typically, you don't just split psukim. So why does Shmuel recommend? Why does he suggest that we do a pasuk? We split a pasuk to accommodate the aliyahs. Answers the Gemara. Hasam tamamai. Mishmuel le'efshar. Why does Rabbi Chanina allow it for the kids? Because there's no other way. It's your best option. Hachanami le'efshar here as well. You're short a pasuk. For lack of better alternative, you split the pasuk. What do you mean? You have another alternative. You can skip. You can repeat. Like Rav, Shmuel Amar Pesach. My time, Elohim Adoylik. What's wrong with repeating? Why go ahead and artificially split a pasuk? Gzeira Mishim HaNichnas and Mishim HaYaitz. Oh, he's concerned about the latecomers and the one that leave early. Lefi says, don't follow Rav's suggestion of repeating psukim. Why? The first Ayla does 1, 2, and 3. A fellow leaves the shul at that point with only two psukim left to the parasha. He'll think in his mind the next Ayla will only do two psukim, which is an erroneous conclusion. That's Mishum HaYotzim. Next, to the second oila, goes back, those 3, 4, and 5. A fellow walks into shul right at that point, thinks the previous oila must have done just 1 and 2 psukim, which is less than the required psukim for an aliyah. So concerned about the latecomers, about the fellows leaving early. And therefore he says, rather than repeat and create all kinds of erroneous impressions, take that third pasuk and split it in half for no better alternative. Let's go to Rashi, 5 lines from the top. A fellow walks in right then when the second oila comes up and starts from 3 to 4 to 5. And they'll say, Leikar, Rishon Elishlein, the previous oila must have only done 2 psukim. So that's Mishum HaNechnasim. What's Mishum HaYetzim? V'chein HaYetzim. Fellows leaving at that point, Sheyishmo Sarishin Kairish Lesha, after the first oila did 1, 2, and 3, they leave the shul, they'll say, La'ikra Hashem, Yelashnaim, the next one, next oila, apparently he's only doing 2 psuk. So avoid that confusion, and just split the third pasuk in half, 2 and a half and 2 and a half. Rav apparently holds that the concern of Gzeira B'Shem Nechnasim doesn't really match up to the inappropriateness of splitting a pasuk into two. So that's the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Bottom line is, when we're short a pasuk, we have an option. We have 2 options. Splitting, repeating, says Rav, apparently the same thing will be applied by Rosh Chodesh. You're short a pasuk, repeat, or split. And soon the Gemara will actually conclude that the halacha says, repeat. That's what we do today. We have Amar Talahem, that pasuk, we repeat it. Once for the first fellow, once for the second fellow. This way, we give each person his required amount of pasuk. Meisvei. Ask the Gemara Kasha on Rav. You can repeat a pasuk. Raisa says like this. Your typical Kriyas HaTorah, Monday and a Thursday, Parsha Shal Shisha Psukim. You have a Parsha consisting of 6 Psukim. Kriyan Oysa B'Shnaim. 2 people will take care of it. 3 and 3. V'Shal Chamisha Psukim. A Parsha with only 5 B'Yachid. Preferably, only 1 person should read it. That's not enough for 2 people. What happens if Kora Rishon Shlesha? The first Eil only did 3 Psukim. There are only 2 Psukim left to the Parsha. Kairish Naim Hasheni. The next oila is Kairish Naim. He parshas will conclude this parsha, finish the last 2 psukim, and spill into the next parsha as well. Ve'echad mi parsha acharis. He needs at least 2 psukim. So 2 and 1. Apparently, the Tanakhama is not concerned about the latecomer who walks in at that point and says, 1 second. The oila starting at the second pasuk of that parsha, apparently the previous fellow only did 1 pasuk. He won't realize that he's spilling over from the previous parsha and he had 3. He won't realize that. Tanakam is not concerned about Nechnasim. The more someone will explain, a fellow walking in late knows his place. He won't start speculating and coming to conclusions. He'll ask around if he's really curious what happened here, and I'll tell him, what do you mean? Because the previous fellow did some from the last parsha, some from this, he had 3, don't worry. So the Tanakam is not concerned about Nechnasim. The Yeshayim, some hold differently. They're concerned about latecomers. And therefore they say Shlesha. In this case where in the first parsha we had 5 psukim. The first Oyla did 3. He left 2 behind. The next Oyla comes in and does those 2. He goes 3 psukim into the next parsha as well. When you start a new parsha, it's at least 3 psukim. We're concerned about latecomers. Who woke in at that point? And if it's less than 3 psukim, they'll say, well, look, the previous fellow only did 2 psukim, 1 pasuk. Right, they'll see the next oila starting at pasuk 2 or pasuk 3. They'll think that the previous fellow didn't do his full share of 3 psukim. They don't realize that he started in the previous parsha. So you need at least 3 psukim to the next parsha. So they're concerned about the nechnasim, and Tanakama is not concerned about nechnasim. But it's clear Tanakama is concerned about the yotzim. In fact, the Tanakhama clearly says, a parsha that has 5 psukim should be read by one person, l'chatchila. Why? You shouldn't have one fellow doing 3 psukim, which would leave 2 psukim over. Because if a fellow leaves at that point, he'll think in his mind that the next oila probably is just doing 2 psukim to finish the parsha. So it seems like people leaving early is a concern for him, but not people arriving late, because they'll just ask around to find out what happened. Yeshayim are concerned about latecomers as well. So that's the price. How does it pertain to us? Vim Isa. Now, according to our discussion, Rav holds you can repeat psukim when you're short. Lamanda amar doilek nidlek. This case, Parshav 5 psukim. Reuven read 3 psukim. Now we're stuck. We have 2 psukim left. According to Rav, easy solution. The next oil should just repeat to 3, 4, and 5. Rashi takes out this phrase because we're speaking that he already read 3 psukim. You can't just split it retroactively. He already did 3 psukim. But according to Rav, we have a kasha. Why can't the next fellow just go back a bit? Back up, one more pasuk. Do 3, 4, and 5. Why spill over to the next parsha? Shani Hosam de Efshabachi. There it's different. It's a Monday, it's a Thursday. You can just keep on going. So although typically we just take a snippet of the parsha. But if you need to, just keep on going. It's different than a Rosh Chodesh, etc., where you're bound to that parsha which discusses the Inyani Hayyimah or the Ma'amadis. We can't go past that. So in those cases, for lack of better alternative, we repeat. But over here, there's no need to do that. Amar b'tanchem, Amar b'shuban levi, halacha k'yesh aymrim. We follow Yesh aymrim, who hold that if you need to spill over to the next parsha, you need to do 3 psukim. We're concerned about latecomers who might show up after his aliyah and say, one second, he must have only done 1 or 2 psukim. Therefore, you have to do 3 into the next parsha. V'omer b'tanchem, omer b'shuman levi, k'shem she'en maschilim b'parsha, pochas megil psukim, just like we don't do less than 3 psukim to the next parsha, for the concern of the nichnasim, that's showing up then. Kach ein meshairin b'parsha, pochas m'shasha psukim. Likewise, when you leave some psukim at the end of a parsha, it must be at a minimum, at least 3 psukim. Why? We're concerned about people leaving at that moment. The yaitzim. And therefore, we have to leave at least three psukim. This way, they figure the next oil will do those 3 psukim. Now, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Tanchum? Pshita, of course. Certainly, the Yesh Aymer are concerned about both things. About being maschil parsha with no less than 3. Likewise, leaving at least 3 psukim behind at the end of the parsha. Hashta. Now, uma aschalt. If we find that when it comes to starting, beginning a new parsha, with less than 3 psukim, the kamei kotanakam, the Tanakama certainly doesn't have an issue with that. Tanakama says you can just go 1 pasuk to the next parsha. I'm not concerned about latecomers. Still, machmir yesh aymrim. Yesh aymrim not concerned. They say, no. I'm concerned about latecomers. Do at least 3 psukim to the next parsha. So we see the Yeshayim Ramachim are more concerned about these things. Certainly, shir, when it comes to how many psukim to leave over at the end of a parsha, where the concern is because of the yoitzim, fellows leaving at that point. The mach, metanakamu, well, even Tanakamu is concerned. You see that he recommends that a parsha of 5 psukim should be read by 1 person to avoid leaving over less than 3 psukim at the end of the parsha. Don't you think that it's certain that Yesh Aymrim would be Machmir? If in one case Tanakama is Mekel, Yesh Aymrim more Machmir, of course when the Tanakama himself is Machmir, Yesh Aymrim Machmir as well. So what's the Chiddush of Rabbi Tanachum? That even according to Yesh Aymrim, you shouldn't leave over less than 3 Pesukim at the end of a Parsha. It's obvious. Answers the Gemara, no. Mal the Tema, perhaps there would be room to think that nichnas and shchichi. People walking late, unfortunately, it's a common occurrence. So when it comes to starting the next parasha, where the concern is because of the newcomers, then we have to be concerned and accommodate them. Yoytin l'shchichi, but the possibility of just leaving the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, that's not something common. How often does such an emergency happen? The manchi Sefer Torah v'nafki, to leave the Sefer Torah and just leave? And therefore, perhaps Yesh Aymrim would not be concerned about leaving over less than 3 psukim at the end of a parsha. Who's leaving at that point? K'mashmon, the chiddush is no. We're concerned about that too. Now, Yesh Aymrim are concerned about both, leaving and coming. Tanakama appears to be concerned only regarding people leaving. Don't leave over less than 3 psukim at the end of a parsha. For concern about this fellow running out, who might draw an erroneous conclusion that the next oil is just doing two psukim. That is concerned about. But for the nichnasim, doesn't seem to be concerned. In fact, he says, if you're short a pasuk, just go over into the next parasha. One pasuk is fine. What do you mean? Somebody walks in right then, will say, well, the oil must have only done one pasuk. He's not concerned about that. V'tanakama, ma'ishna, what's the difference? Shira deloi. Don't leave over too little at the end of the parasha. Mishmi yaitz, we're concerned about people leaving. Aschuli nami. Gzeirav shema nechnasen. What about initiation of the next parasha? Not concerned about the nechnasen? Ami, the answer is, no, we're not concerned. Man the aisle, whoever comes in late. Shiyuli shayel, if he's really curious, he can ask around. And they'll tell him, well, the previous fellow actually did more than one or two psukim. He's coming from the previous parasha. He did his share. Shalchli Rabba, Brei de Rava, he sent L'Rav Yosef, Hilchasamai, how do we paskin? What's the preferred approach when we short a pasuk? Skipping or splitting? Shalachle hilchas adaylag. We skip. I'm sorry, we repeat. Repeating or splitting? Repeating. That's the halach. Emtsoi dolgon, and the Miller fellow does it. Meaning, Rosh Chodesh would be the second oil. I mean, not the first or the last. The middle fellow comes back, redoes the pasuk, and proceeds further. Zaklal kol sheyesh by musaf. On Rosh Chodesh, we have a musaf. We add an aliyah. Yiboilu. The question is like this. Tanis tzibur b'kama. Kriyas HaTorah on a public fast day. How many aliyahs does it have? What's the shaila? Rosh Chodesh HaMoed, Nika Karban Musaf. Arba. Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed. We actually have an extra karban, an extra tefillah. That deserves a new aliyah for the Kedusha Sayyim. Aval hocha d'leka musaf. Like a karban musaf loy. Tanis tzibur doesn't have a karban musaf. Doesn't deserve an extra aliyah. Or idilmo, perhaps you can say. Hachanami, you could feel musaf, tefillah. True, you don't have a carbon musaf. But you have an extra tefillah. Rashi says, the aneinu tefillah. Perhaps that's indicative of a higher kedusha, a higher day, and requires another aliyah. Toshma, let's bring a right from the Mishnah. Rosh Chodesh, B'chodesh HaMoed, on these 2 days. Karen Abba, we do 4. Apparently. Ha'atanis tzibur gimel. On a fast day, it's only 3. Here's your answer. Emoration. Let's take a look at the first part of the Mishnah. B'sheini b'chamishi b'shabbos b'mincha, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, and afternoon. Karen Gimel, it's only 3. And we don't mention fast days. So let's make a deal, apparently. Ha'otan is tzibar bo. So here's your answer. It's 4. So we have conflicting implications. Elo maholek el mashma mina. Apparently, this mission is not going to really indicate much. And we're still back to our shayla. Toshma, the Rav ikla lebavu. Rav visited Bavel. B'tanas tzibur. It was a tanas tzibur, and he got up. Kam kara b'sifra. He went to be oil l'toira. He got the aliyah. Pasach, when he started baruch, he made the first bracha. Asher bracha bono. Chosim, when he concluded his aliyah v'loy baruch, he didn't make a bracha. That's number one. Number two, nafal kuli alma an payu. Everybody did nefilas apayim, covered their faces. V'rav loy nafal apay. Rav didn't do it. Someone will elaborate on this. What happened with the Nefilas Apayim? In any case, let's go back to the first part. He got an aliyah. He did a bracha prior, but not following the aliyah. Michti, let's analyze. Which aliyah did Rav get? Rav was a Yisrael. Rav Yisrael Kara. He must have gotten the third aliyah. My time of Chosim Olei Baruch. So why didn't he make a bracha at the end of his aliyah? All right, the first and last oila make the bracha, as we learned yesterday. Oh, Lav Mishum. Apparently, the reason is because the boy Lemikre Achrina Basre, there's another oila behind him. Tanis Tzibur gets 4 aliyahs. Why? That's not the reason. Rav Bekehani Kara. Oh, the Rav wasn't a Kayin, but he got the first aliyah of the Kayin. You're a Talmud Chacham of really high stature. You're allowed to get Kayin. As we find, the Ha Rav Huna, Kari Bekehani, Rav Huna got Kayin. And we assume Rav as well. Vishlam Rav Huna Kari B'Kahani. Ah, there's no connection. Rav Huna certainly deserved Kayin. The Hafilu Rav Ami Rav Asi. Even Rav Ami Rav Asi, who were Kayhanim, very important, Chashav Kayhanim, the Kahani Chashivi Ba'ari Star Yisrael, Mekav Kaifule, the Rav Huna. They were subject to him. They were bottled to him. They were bent to him. They submitted themselves to him. They were Machshav him. He was higher than them. And that's the prerequisite for giving kayin to a Talmud Chacham. You have to be the greatest, bigger than all the Kehanim in the area. Ela Rav, how can you apply that to Rav? Ha'ikah Shmuel. We have Shmuel the Kana Haba, who was a kohen, v'daber alei. And Shmuel, Rashi says, was nohug haya liyos l'mala mirav. He was considered higher than Rav. Rav gave him extra covet. Rashi brings the Gemara Bava Kama. Rav wouldn't walk in before Shmuel. So how could Rav get kohen if he isn't considered higher in stature than all the Kehanim in the area? Answers the Gemara, actually, Rav was higher. Shmuel Nami, Mekev Havakayef Leila Rav. Shmuel himself was subject to Rav, was bottled to Rav, was considered lower in stature than Rav. But the Rav, who the Ovid lay covered, Rav accorded special honor to Shmuel. Rashi brings it was based on the whole story, because Rav had arrived by ship, and Shmuel was a doctor. Rav had a stomach ailment. Shmuel tried to help him, and he caused him a lot of distress. Rav was upset. He gave a klala to Shmuel. He shouldn't have no children. Later on, he found out that Shmuel was just trying to help him. And as a result of that story, he had extra covet, extra sensitivity to Shmuel. V'chiyavad lay b'fanav. That was only true in his presence. Shalay b'fanav lay avad lay. But if it was not in his presence, Rav wouldn't necessarily give extra cover to Shmuel, because Rav himself was higher in stature than Shmuel. Therefore, it says the Gemara, he deserved the Aliyah of Kohen. Hachinam Mesarva, it appeared that this is the correct pshat. But Rav got Kohen, that's why he didn't make the bracha after his Aliyah, because he got the first Aliyah. The Rav Bekahani Kara, it seems that Rav did get Kohen. Nisan Kadaitach B'Yisrael Kara, because if he would have gotten Yisrael, the third Aliyah, Lefaneo my time of Baruch. Why is he making a bracha before his Aliyah? That only applies to the first Oyla. First Oyla makes the bracha before his Aliyah, and the last Oyla makes the bracha after the Aliyah, like we learned yesterday. So why is Rav making a bracha before his Aliyah? Oh, so you must say, Lachatakama. It was after they changed the practice. And every Oyla makes his own separate bracha, as we learned yesterday. That's the case. Why is he only making bracha before his Aliyah? He should make one following his Aliyah as well. Every Aliyah gets two brachas, before and after. Isn't that a solid proof? The Rav was not being Oyla Shlishi. Because if so, then just as he made a bracha before, he should make a bracha after. It must be that he was getting Kayin. And at that time, they study Old Takana. The first Eila makes the bracha before his Aliyah. And the last Eila, the bracha following his Aliyah. And Rav got coins. He only made one bracha beforehand. So that's the Gemara. That isn't necessarily a proof. Perhaps he got Shlishi. And it was after they changed the Takana. He made a bracha before his Aliyah, but not after. What was the reason for this new Takana? Concerned about Nechnosim and the Yaitzim. Right? We learned this yesterday. The reason why you make a bracha beforehand is because a guy might show up right then and say, hey, where's the bracha? So you make a bracha before the Aliyah. The bracha after the Aliyah is because the fellow might leave at that point and say, one sec, where's the bracha after Kriyas HaTorah? Shan Yehechad Yosef Rav. But in Rav's area, Rav's town, things were different. The male Aliyah, although people perhaps running late, we have the Nechnasim, which necessitates a bracha before every Aliyah. But they come in late, but they don't leave early. Meipak le'napke, they don't leave early. Rav trained them well. And therefore, he only made a bracha before his Aliyah, but not following. Perhaps he got Shlishi. And there's going to be another Aliyah afterwards. Because it's a Tanis Tzibur. Which perhaps requires four Aliyahs. Maybe. I have no way of proving one way or the other. Maybe that's the case. The reason why he made a bracha before his Aliyah was because of the Nechnasim, but not afterwards. There were no Yoitzim concerned there. In any case, it's inconclusive. We're not sure what happened there. Did he get Kayin? Did he get Shlishi? And therefore, we're not sure why He wasn't making a bracha afterwards. We're not sure if there was four aliyahs or three. We haven't really concluded. Tashma, let's bring a raya to our shaila. What was the shaila? What happens on a Tanis Tzibur? Three aliyahs? Or perhaps because we have the extra tefillah, that requires another aliyah. Zeh klal. The Brisa says like this. Kol sheyesh bebitul malach alam. Any, a weekday. We're holding the Tzibur back in shul. Holding them long is gonna disrupt their schedule. Hold them back from doing malacha. Could go in Tanis Tzibur, a fast day where you can do malacha. V'tisha b'av, al pi halacha, you can do malacha. In that case, we don't inconvenience the crowd. We don't hold them up too long. Kur and Gimel, we suffice with three aliyahs. V'she'en b'av bitul malacha. Lam, however, on a day where there is no bitul malacha issues, in any case, not really engaged in much business on that day. In which case, holding them back in shul wouldn't really be inconveniencing them too significantly. Kigayin v'shechadoshim, v'chayla shal mayid. Kur and Dal, we add a fourth aliyah. Shemami, no, it's pretty clear from the Braisa. Tanis Tzibur only gets three aliyahs. So chayla mayid, you're not meant to do malacha. In any case, it's not a typical workday. What about Rosh Chodesh? Why is Rosh Chodesh put on this list? You can't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh? So listen to this Rashi. Seven lines from the top. Rashi Chodashim says, Rashi, Ein boi mutu malacha, kolkach. There's not much loss of malacha on that day. Shein anoshim oisus malacha ben. Although men do, but women refrain from malacha. Hear this? V'achinami amrinim sechas Rosh Hashanah. Gab masuiz, mishum bitu malacha shalosh neyam. Concerned about 2 days Rosh Chodesh and bitu malacha. Rashi over there learns, the anoshim are going to have to keep away from malacha on Rosh Chodesh. V'shamati, v'pi mera zokenzal, shnitnu lehem mitzvah. So why did they get this special mitzvah? Why is this a women's mitzvah? B'shvil shaloi pirku nizmein begel, they refused to give their jewelry for the eagle. Taisvis, v'anim osasi perik memhei, the price, lezer. Listen to this price. Shama anoshim, the woman heard about this eagle being made. V'loi rotzul litin nizmein, they refused to contribute. V'loi rotzul litin nizmein, their nose rings, their earrings, l'balein. Ala amr lehem, they tell their husbands, Gesundheit, Atam Reutzim Lassus Pesel Masecha. You're getting involved in this folly. Shein bei Koyach Lahatzel. We're not on the program. Venos Nagalish Borchus Choron Shalnoshim Bamaze. Hashem gave him a special mitzvah, a special schar. Shemeshamris, Rosh Chodeshim, Yosim Nanoshim. They get Rosh Chodesh more than the men. They observe Rosh Chodesh more than men do. Lo'elm Habo, Heina Sidis, Lishchadesh, Kemoy Rosh Chodeshim, Shinemar, Tishchadesh, Kineshin Oreichi. Interesting. They refrain to take part in the eagle. What is the eagle? What is the concept of avodah zarah? It's hard to relate because they were mevatel the avodah zarah. There's no more desire for this type of thing, but intellectually we could try to understand. Ideas, you want to relate to it. You want to connect to the higher being in a tangible way. It's difficult being vatel to Hashem who can't relate to, we can't understand. It's something way beyond us. You want to have something tangible, a piece of wood which represents godliness, a stone, an idol, a form, something to hang on to, something to grab onto, that you can relate to it on your level. The Nashim said no. No part in this. We have direct connection to Hashem. What is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is dictated by the new Chodesh, the new moon. The schachas of the moon denotes hashgacha, denotes emuna, Hashem's presence. Look, it's not an autopilot. It's not like the sun. It's not just living on without any change. The moon is a constantly evolving being. You see the schachas. You see the fact that Hashem's running it. It wanes. It grows. It you see that constant renewal. Somebody's running the world. We want that directness with Hashem, which is expressed through the Chodesh, through the Levana. The Nashim was Zeicha to celebrate Rosh Chodesh more than men. And therefore they refrained from Malach. And it seems from the next part in Rashi that even men, to a certain extent, refrained from heavy work. What's going on? Was Rosh Chodesh? It was Rosh Chodesh. The Gomerly Mach Chodesh, I was between David and Yohannes, and says, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. The Kurli letter of Rosh Chodesh, Yom HaMasa. The day before Rosh Chodesh was Yom HaMasa, day of work. Apparently Rosh Chodesh lav Yom HaMasa. It's not really a full, proper work day. So heavy work, plowing, working the field, they refrained from that. Even men would refrain in Rosh Chodesh. Umoyed nami lav betu malach la'am. Chalomoyed is pashut. You're not losing work because you're not meant to do malach on that day. Sherei boin with haknesses. Yoisim oisachol. Chalomoyed is meant for spending time in shul, learning and davening. V'she'ein oisim by malach b'davar avid. An emergency. A davar avid you can do, but otherwise, typically you refrain from malach. So on these days we can afford adding a little to the tefillah, another aliyah. Pretty clear from the Braisa, Tanis Tzibur only gets three aliyahs. Continues the Gemara. Five from the top. Amar Rav Ashi, what do you mean about nan leit nan hachi? Take a look at the Mishnah. It doesn't seem like Tanis Tzibur only gets three. Zaklal kol yam sheyesh ben musaf ve'eino yamtiv karen abba. This is the general rule. A day which features a musaf, but it's not really a yamtiv. Chalamoyed v'shchedish. Kern Alba, you have four aliyahs. What's the added Zaklal Kol Yom? What's the Mishnah trying to bring out after having already mentioned Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed? Oh, apparently we're coming to include an additional case. Zaklal Asuye, Ma Lav Lasuye, Tanis Tzibur, V'Tisha B'Av. Apparently we're coming to include a fast day, which gets four aliyahs. Continues the Gemara. According to Rav Ashi, we have a problem. Rav Ashi, Mas Nisan Mani. According to him, the Mishnah is telling you that Tanis Tzibur gets four. Who's the author of our Mishnah? We don't find such a shita. Loi Tanakam, v'loi Rav Yosi. In the following brayso, we have either Tanakam or Rav Yosi, and they both hold that on a fast day. It's only three aliyahs, it's Sanya. Chol Yis, b'sheni b'chamish. This is Tisha B'Av. Falls out on a Monday and Thursday, which in any case are days for Karis HaTorah. Karin Gimel, Maftar Echad, so you have three oilim. And the third one is the Maftar as well. On a Tuesday or Wednesday, where typically you don't have Kriya Sater, so we minimize it. Kare Echad, Maftar Echad, you only have one Oilo, he does have Torah together. Don't want to burden the crowd, don't want to add too much. Rabbi Yesi, Emir Lo Oilam, Kare Gimel, Maftar Echad, whether it's a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, you always do three Aliyahs, and the third one is the Maftar. In any case, everybody holds it's just three, never more. Velakash is Aklal. Okay, so then, what then does the Mishnah mean? Zaklal, Kol Yom Shabbos Shabbos Musaf. It's not referring to Tanis Tzibur. Says the Gemara, Lasui Rosh Chodesh Amoyed. Simple, Rosh Chodesh Chol Amoyed. They get four aliyahs. Habehadik Tani. What do you mean? The Mishnah clearly already mentioned those things. Rosh Chodesh Amoyed Karen Abba. What's the additional Zaklal? Simana Ba'alma Yoev. The Mishnah is trying to highlight the formula behind it. How does this work? You shouldn't contemplate that ordinary yamtiv is like Chol HaMoed, which only gets four aliyahs. That's why the Mishnah goes over, repeats the klal. I want you to know how it works. Follow this rule. Called the Tafalei Milsa Mechavri, a day which has a mal, an added component of Kedusha in it. Tafi like Gavri Yisir, he gets an extra man, an extra aliyah. And therefore, in conclusion, Hilkach. But a Shchodesh Amoyed, Dika Karban Musaf. On these days where you have a Karban Musaf, so you have that additional component, Kurdan Abba, you get four aliyahs. But Yom Tov, the Asr by Sias Malacha, on Yom Tov where you don't do Malacha, so there's the extra Kedusha Chamisha. That garners another aliyah. If you have a Kippurim Dan Ashkaris, that's a Mochamer, more Kaddish day. Shish, that's an extra aliyah. Shabbos, Ika Isoskila, Shiva. On Shabbos, you have more than Karis, it's Misa B'dei Shemayim, which is considered higher in severity. So you get seven aliyahs. So, bottom line, it seems from the Gemara that on a Tanis Tzibur, only have three aliyahs, and that's what we do today. Three aliyahs only. Goof, let's go back to that story with Rav. Ikla Bavel came to Bavel, Betanis Tzibur, Kam Karab Safra, so he did his aliyah, Pasach Baruch, he did a bracha before his aliyah, Chasam Le Baruch, but not a bracha afterwards, as we explained. And then what happened? Nafal Kuli Alma Anpayu. Everybody did Nefilas Apayim, they put their head down, V'Rav Lo Nafal Anpayu, but he didn't do Nefilas Apayim. Why not? My time, Rav Lo Nafal Anpayu, why didn't he follow the crowd? Ritzbashav Avonim Hoysa, because he was standing in front of a stone floor. He's not meant to bow on a stone floor. See, there Nefilas Apayim was all the way down, for real. You can't do that on the stone floor if you're outside the Migdash. But Tanya, we learned in the Brayas, Evan Maskus, Lutitnu Ba'artzachem, Lushtach Vesaleo. Aleo Yata Mushtachve Ba'artzachem. You're not allowed to bow on stones outside the Migdash. Avalat Mushtachve, Alavonim, Shal Beis HaMigdash. But in the Migdash, that's fine. Kedulu. The Amr Ula tells us, Loi Asra Toir, Ela Ritzva Shal Avonim Blava. The concern is only by a stone floor, which was reminiscent of their idol worship. That's why he wouldn't bow. If that's a concern, my area, Rav. Why does this only concern Rav? I feel a cool enami. The old tzibur shouldn't be bowing on stone floors. If that's what they had in the shul, kamed Rav havoy. There was a stone patch in front of Rav. See, he couldn't, but they could. Because in Atur, you can bow on a non-stone floor, although in halacha it's brought that the rabban you shouldn't do it on any floor. That's why on Kippur they put a towel or something. But min hadin, he only had a concern not day. V'leizel legabi tzibur v'lin pulalapi. Fine, so let him move away, go down to the crowd and bow here on their section of floor. Leiboy lemitruch tzibur. He figured he goes there, they'll have to get up for him. He doesn't want to burden them, so he gave up his nefilas apay. Leiboy yisim. Another pshat. Rav pishut yodaim v'raglaim havavit. Unlike the tzibur who just put their head down, he would actually spread out entirely, hands and feet on the floor, and the concern applies in that case only. The only issur is ela pishut yodaim v'raglaim levad. When you spread out on the floor completely, that you can't do. That's a true mishtach havaya, as we're going to learn soon. So he couldn't do it on the stone floor, but they could, because they weren't doing it to that extent. Okay, v'le pala'ape, so let me just do a minimal. Nefilas apayim v'loy lavet pishut yadayim raglayim, without this whole extension. Answers the Gemara, le'mishanim yiminhogi. He had a minhag, he didn't want to deviate. He preferred refraining than deviation from his minhag. Unbelievable. Yibo yisim, another pshat is, the concern was totally based on another concept. Adam choshev sham. An important person is not allowed to do this in public. It degrades his status if he spreads himself out like that in public. An Adam Chashev cannot do this. And Taisus points out, it's only a concern if it's in public. He shouldn't do it. Unless he knows, Rashi says, he's botuach b'masav, he's confident in his ability, shunena b'tfilas, and he can elicit a response from Hashem. Otherwise, he's just throwing himself on the floor, being mavaz himself, which can harm his reputation, his stature, and bring about a degradation, a bezilzel in the eyes of the public, which is more important right now. He has to maintain his dignity. B'tzibur. So unless he knows he's going to be responded to, like by Yeshua ben Nun, d'chsiv, v'yimar Hashem al Yeshua kum l'cha. So Hashem tells him, Hashem responds to him. Why are you falling down? He had the ability to be responded to by Hashem. But otherwise, don't do it. And therefore, Rav refrained. He wasn't sure if he can generate results. And therefore, he refused to bow down. So we have three pshatim. Why he wouldn't bow? The stone floor, which was dafka in front of him. Well, because only he would spread himself out, which is the concern. The ripshat is Adam Chashev shouldn't do it. Tana Rabbanu. What is Kida? We find it there's Lashon in the Pasuk. Kida, what is that? Alapayim. It's a limited thing. It's just putting your head, covering your head on the floor. Shenemar, Vatikoid Bal Sheva Apayim Eretz. Shebasheva did this in front of David. She just did her head straight down. What is it? Kriya? That is al berkaim, on one's knees. Involves the knees. What is it? Shtachavoy? That's all out. Zu pishut yadayim raglaim, totally spread out on the floor. Shenemar, havaynova, aniva, imcha, v'achecha, v'shtachav z'cha arza. This was Yaakov Avinu, tells Yosef, you think we're all going to go do shtachavoy to you? Rashi says the word arza denotes kulay shetuach arza, totally spread out. There's a story involving Levi. Levi achvi kido kamei de Rebbe. This kido is a complicated procedure. And Levi had the ability to do it. He presented this kido, acrobatic feat, in front of Rebbe. Rashi says it's quite dangerous because you don't really have much to support yourself on. Imagine you're just standing upright and then your head is just going down, down, down until you hit the floor. And then when you get up, you don't have much to support yourself on. It's just your fingers, and you can easily strain your back. And that's what happened. He did it in front of Rebbe. Why in front of Rebbe? I think the Farshim explained Rebbe was going through a lot of Yisurim for Klal Yisrael, as Gemara and Bava Metzia discusses, and they said try to liven him up a bit. So he performed in front of Rebbe V'itla, and he became limp. He was injured. Asks the Gemara, that's why he was injured? V'hoka Garmali? This is the reason? V'amar Belezer, lo'oilam al yatiach adam devarim. A person should always be careful not to toss, so to speak, words upwards to Hashem. Be careful the way you speak to Hashem. Hashem knows better. You have to daven, but choose your words carefully and respectfully. Shari Adam Gadol. We know of a great man, Levi. He tiach dvarim klapi mal, did just that. In the time of Tzara, Rashi says, we had this in Maseches Tanis. They were experiencing great drought, and he said, Alisa l'amarim, v'enat mashkiach al-banecha. You're up there, you're not... So it was a bit too harsh. And he became limp. He was injured because of that. Umana, who's this person? Levi. So we see that was the reason, not the kida that he performed. Answers the Gemara. Both are true. Ha v'ha garmale. Both together caused this this result. Rashi says in the bottom line, because he spoke a bit harshly to Hashem, that made him vulnerable. So that when he was experiencing this shasa sakana, he was in this precarious, acrobatic position, he got injured. The Gemara speaks about a person refraining from placing himself in a makam sakana, walking near a kir nati, a leaning wall, etc., because it's maskir navinesa shaladam. It arouses the prosecutors, the makatrigim lamal, to say, one second, this fellow right now needs a nes. Is he deserving of a nes? So one places himself in a precarious situation, a makam sakana. Chas v'shalom, he could be vulnerable due to his misdeeds. Here as well, the sakana triggered the einish, which was really as a result of the yatiach dvarim klapi mal. Amar b'chir bar Abin, back to the topic of the Adam Chashim, who was meant to maintain his dignity in public. Chazinu l'abai v'rava, I noticed that abai v'rava came up with a solution. The matzli atzli, they would just lean a bit on the side when they didn't feel as apayim. It wasn't straight down. You're not meant to do that, but a bit sideways. This avoided that concern of lack of dignity, and therefore they did it. Okay, what did we learn today? We had a shaila regarding a case where you're coming up short. You're a pasuk short, what do you do? Whether it's Rosh Chodesh or the Ma'amodes. Rav says, you repeat the pasuk. Shmuel says, you split. V'ilchasa, you repeat. By Tanis Tzibur, we only have three aliyahs. And generally, the way it works is, the more the Kedusha, the more the aliyahs. A typical weekday, three aliyahs. Rosh Chodesh Moed, four. Yom Tov, five. Yom Kippur, six. And Shabbos, seven. The reason why Rav didn't do Nefilas Apayim, we have one or three terutzim. He had some stone in front of him. He didn't want to walk over to the crowd to burden them. It was only a concern for Rav, because he did a foolish tachavaya, that's the second teres. And third teres is Adam Chashev is different. We learned about Kida, Kriya, and Shtachavaya, three different forms of bowing down. We had a story with Levi. One is meant to be careful, and his tefillah is to Hashem. Much atzlacha to you, and Psurus Tevis, the entire Klal Yisrael.